I'd like now to welcome Jason Yersic and Angelo Jaramillo. They are going to, Jason is the author of the play, or the playwright of the play, The Little Ghost, and Angelo is an actor in this play that is happening this weekend, Friday through Sunday. Welcome.
Thank you.
And now this is at the Armory for the Arts. Let's talk about it. First of all, why don't we start with the name of the play, Little Ghost?
Yes, the name Little Ghost. I love that name. It was given to me by a street gang back when I was probably 7 years old, and it stuck with me all my life, but I've kept it secretly hidden far, far away, because one of the main characters of the gang, one of the leaders of the gang, if you would, was a man they called Mighty, and he said, "Little Ghost, you got to fly under the radar. You can't let people know that you're with us, and you got to go out there and since you're half white and you're half Mexican, you got to go out there and show us what the other half of the world is doing and what they think about us." So he named me Little Ghost, and he told me, "Stay under the radar."
And so this is the real life that you were living at that time, and you then have written a play. How autobiographical is this play?
I like to say that it is all real, except for the stuff I made up. But it's really close. I'd probably say 95% is completely true. But, you know, it's for the theater, and we have to embellish in some areas, make it interesting, more interesting, rather.
Put dramatic structure around
it.
Right,
exactly.
So what's the play about?
The play is about a young boy who grows up without a father. He struggles to find his identity out on the streets. He's impressed upon by the gang and by drug life and by violence to go in that direction, and he decides that through inner turmoil and hard times in his life, physical life, he decides that he needs to go into a spiritual path, and he slowly is edged into the spiritual path by a figure, a ghost figure, if you would, another level. It's the physical form of the poetic muse, and he's played by the man, Froggy Fernandez, right? Yeah, Froggy Fernandez, and he propels the character Emiliano forward into poetry.
Now, this was originally a screenplay that you were working on, and then you decided to change it into a theater play.
Yes. I was Googling, and I was looking for a way to pay my electric bill, because I didn't have any money to pay my electric bill.
You were Googling, how do I pay my electric bill?
I was Googling literary projects on how it would pay me money for, and I found the screenwriting or the playwriting competition that they have up here at the Santa Fe Performing Arts, and I entered my screenplay because that's all I had, and they accepted it, and Nicholas Sabato worked with me on making it fit for the theater.
And he's the director of this play.
Yes.
Now, you play, Angelo, the lead role, the little ghost, is that right?
That's correct.
So, how did you find yourself relating to that role, which is Jason's life?
Well, it's like kind of multi-tiered as far as the different levels that the way this role affects me, because on the one hand, although I was never immersed in that kind of extreme kind of street life, growing up here in Santa Fe, I kind of drifted towards just kind of like the recklessness and kind of like the wildness. And then coming from the Chicano background of, you know, kind of like living with the guys who were, you know, growing up in the barrio and kind of associated with gang life, I saw a lot of friends and some relatives who kind of went down that path, so I could relate in that sense as far as knowing the stories that kind of incorporate that. And just in addition to what Jason said about how autobiographical it is, he kind of mentioned to me that, you know, this is like 20 years of secrets or something like that, and it's a combination of all kinds of different cats and characters all into these five different, well, these two primary characters, myself and little Freddy, who's my antagonist. But as the writing aspect of it, I mean, that just hit home right away. And after I read the script the first time, I knew I wanted to be a part of it. I actually discovered Jason's books at St. John's College before I even knew about the play, before Nicolo Sabato called me up and invited me to participate. And so I could relate to him and what he was saying and kind of just what he was about as far as his soul and his message and how he's going to grow and keep continuing to grow.
Now, Jason is a poet who, as you said, you write books for people who don't read books. Yeah. Is this a play for people who don't go to the theater?
It's largely a play for all ages, all races, all genders to come and try to figure out how they can fit into the picture of helping another person who might be out there struggling for help, trying to struggle his way through life. and maybe they could open their eyes just for a little bit and see if they were to just reach out and hand a person a book one day or hand a person a piece of paper and a pencil, it could change their life and change their outlook and change the whole structure of society for that matter.
Now, did you actually ever really enter into gang life yourself?
Well, Mighty wouldn't let me. I was only 6 years old, and he wouldn't let them jump me in because they were all 17, 18, 20 years old, and I was just a little kid. So Mighty would never let me be jumped in, so I couldn't officially be called a gang member because I wasn't jumped in.
And why wouldn't he let you?
I was just too young, and he saw...
But I mean, when you got older.
Right. I think he saw the advantages of me being half-white, Coyote, half-white, half-Mexican. He saw the advantages because he would tell me, go tell me what the white people are doing. And then he would come back and he'd say, go tell the white people what we're doing.
But if you were on the inside, you wouldn't have that freedom?
Right. I would have been tattooed on my face. My neck would have been tattooed. I would have been shooting people. My innocence, the little bit of innocence that I had would have been stripped from me very quickly.
Was he, I mean, besides it being a practical thing for him, do you think he saw that part of you that was the poet and was protecting you?
In the grander scheme of things, in the universal activity, and however you want to say it, I think so. But it might have been unconscious or subconscious.
What is the nature of the gang world such as it is here in Santa Fe, New Mexico?
What is the nature of it?
Yeah.
I think it's just a place for young kids to go who don't have a family. And that's what happened to me. Is my brother was older than me. My sister was older than me. By the time I got old enough to walk around the house by myself, they were already out experiencing their own life, and I was by myself. So I wandered the streets looking for somebody to hang out with, and it happened to be the people that I found at the park, the people in the gang.
Where did you actually grow up?
I grew up in right next to the Kirk in Albuquerque. It's right by the airport. It's an isolated little community, far, far away from everybody else, and police don't even drive down the street on the way to the park.
To what extent are the activities of gangs reported? I was talking to somebody just yesterday who works with young people in Albuquerque and said that there's shootings all the time that never even make it into the newspaper.
Yeah, if they reported all the gang violence and all the gang shootings that went on, the public wouldn't feel safe.
We shouldn't feel safe.
Right, well, if the public knew the amount of activity that has taken place in the shadow of society, if you would, then nobody would really feel safe about it, you know, and it's just a survival technique. It's just what they're doing to get by. It's just the way that the niche that they've found to be able to succeed just a little bit, even if it's in the darkness. And so, you know, they're just doing what they got to do.
If I could just add a little bit on just the whole topic of the gang theme. I've mentioned before to a lot of kids that I've worked with and also to other people in the play and whatnot, but primarily, I think, and Jason touches on this in the play, is there's a bigger issue at hand here, and it's called socioeconomic depravity, meaning the lack of opportunities for a lot of minority cultures in particular, especially young men who sometimes don't have the kind of role models. Like, in other words, you know, this play and in Jason's life, the father was missing. And this is rampant, not only in our own Hispanic community, but through the African-American community. And so I think it's very hypocritical, though, that how we designate a lot of young men of color as gangs or gang activity when we have armies, when we have police organizations, when we have American corporations that are not considered gangsters by any means, but yet they're probably 10 times more violent and very well organized and more armed. And as far as implementing that kind of violence, that goes under the radar as well. And we're meant to feel safe by that kind of aggression, and then instead it's focused on those who don't have the kind of social economic opportunities to cover that up with an Ivy League education or to cover it up with the excuse of, you know, taking oil from another country, i.e. Iraq or something like that.
I suppose if you were living in Fallujah, you might have a different view of who the gangsters were.
Exactly.
Sure.
I think another thing that enters into it is the lack of an article not too long ago about the direct relationship between the cutting of public recreation programs and the rise of gangs. So in other words, even people who are maybe on the lower end of the social or economic spectrum, if there are actual things to do, that makes a big difference.
For sure. And, you know, you could have a two-person gang. You could have one guy say to another guy, let's go break in the houses every night, or let's go break into cars and steal car stereos every night, and then they form their own gang. You know, so I mean, it goes across the board. If there's nothing to do, then they're going to find something to do, whether it's positive or negative. whether it's helpful or destructive, they're going to do it.
I can recall one time here in Santa Fe, in particular, when my mother was mayor back in the mid-90s, that they actually had it on legislation that if there were two or more kids in their teens, primarily of Hispanic background, with baggy clothes, wearing black, they could be considered a gang. I mean,
legislation.
Yeah. The actual language. On
I assume it didn't pass.
It didn't pass. They were proposing that.
There are constitutional questions.
Yeah, thank God it didn't pass.
Yeah, but then again, that gets into people's prejudices also about the clothes you wear, and then there's a lot of, you know, little suburban kids who are wannabes, and they start dressing in that way as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's very appealing because there's a lot of freedom in the gang life. There's a lot of push for people to go into gangs, whether, you know, you realize it or not. It's saying to the poor people of the world, the impoverished people of the world, you're supposed to be in a gang. And it's saying to the people that have a little better status in life, you're supposed to go to college. So the people that are joining these gangs are doing what they feel like they're supposed to be doing. Instead of saying, let's go to college, they're saying, let's go hang out at the block and learn how to slang coke, you know, or whatever.
Now, when you, you know, in your work, are you, in your way, trying to help people see other options besides that?
Yeah, that's what the play is based on, basically, is the power of literature in a person's life. There's a point in the play where the lead, Emiliano, who's Angelo plays, says, how can this piece of paper change me? You know, and he's looking at this piece of paper in a book. And that was supposed to be a pivotal point in the character's transformation, is all of a sudden the words on this piece of paper changed the way that he felt about himself.
Now, you studied with the poet Jimmy Santiago Baca.
That's true.
How did you find each other?
On the internet, believe it or not. I emailed him a couple of my poems, and he decided that he wanted to work with me because he saw a little bit of disparity. He saw a little bit of... He could tell that I was in a bad place, and he could help me with just saying a few nice words about my writing and encouraging me to keep reading. And so he was able to do that for me.
And so that relationship still continues?
Oh, yeah. He's coming to the play on Friday. I'm not supposed to say anything.
You just did.
And also, we have a little line from the play that says, oh, snap. And anybody coming to the door and saying, oh, snap, will receive a half-price ticket.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Anybody. What does that mean?
It's part of the play when he realizes he's gotten himself into something. He uses the street slang terminology for, oh, no, you know, oh, snap.
Oh, snap. Okay.
So if you come to the door and say that, you get a half-price ticket for the next 3 days, Friday,
excellent.
Saturday, Sunday.
So Friday and Saturday, it's at the Armory for the Arts at 7 in the evening.
Yes, ma'am.
And then on Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, the Armory for the Arts Theater is at 1050 Old Pecos Trail. People can make reservations by calling 984-1370. Tell us a little bit about the music in the play.
Oh, yeah, my friend Jimmy Baca, believe it or not, his name is Jimmy Baca also.
He's different Jimmy Baca.
Correct, and his stage name is DJ Jimmy B. And right as soon as I was trying to figure out how I was going to incorporate the sounds of the city, the gang life with the rap music and all these beats and whatnot, I figured right away I thought of him. He's been spinning on the turntable since 1986, you know, so he's well adept at getting the right sound. He knows sounds from just one piece of music from Louis Armstrong and all these things, so he fit in perfectly. With
and he's DJing live?
Yeah, live DJ. He's puts the records on, he hits the little sound bite, he flips it over, puts another record on, hits the little sound bite.
And there's young poets in the play as well.
Yes, we have a live poetry slam, and we have people. We invited people from the community to come in and slam and say their poetry, and it's open to all ages, so anybody out there who wants to come in and say a poem, you can come in, get a half-price ticket, and come on in and say your words.
And this is all Little Ghost. Angela Jaramillo is the actor playing Little Ghost. Jason Yersic is the poet and playwright of this play. Thank you both so much for being here on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Charlotte.